Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
No hip flasks in New York, a love cult in Chicago, and mystical union in California. It's August 1922.
100 years from today.
Your world news update, Michael Collins, chairman of the Provisional Government of the Irish Free State, has returned to Dublin. His body was borne on a gun carriage through the streets of a shocked city as thousands of mourners stood in silence on the pavement. Mr. Collins had left the capital accompanied by a detachment of 20 Irish National Army men to inspect various Free State posts in County Cork. Following several recent assassination attempts, he was advised against the visit, but responded, "They won't shoot me in my own county." The day passed uneventfully, and around 6:30 the party left Bandon to return to Cork City. At the crossroads by Long's Pub at Beale na Blath, they were met by an ambush from the Irish Republican Army. The senior Free State officer ordered the car to drive like hell, but instead Mr. Collins grabbed his Lee Enfield and decided to fight back against the Republicans. He was out of the car and had loosed off a couple of shots before taking a bullet to the head. Political insiders at both Westminster and Dublin are recalling a prescient exchange at the Anglo-Irish talks in London last year. After appending his name to the agreement, the Lord Chancellor, Lord Birkenhead, is said to have remarked dryly to Mr. Collins, "I have just signed my political death warrant." Michael Collins is said to have replied, "I have just signed my actual death warrant." Just 8 months later, he will lie in state at Dublin Castle.
Like the old river channels flowing free.
The Cork is well and truly out. Just a day before the assassination of Michael Collins, the celebrated playwright George Bernard Shaw excoriated Irish Republicans and their intransigence and the ongoing civil war in an interview with the Chicago Tribune. Quote, "Everyone in Ireland is tired of the present political situation. I don't know what Eamon de Valera and Erskine Childers are after. When popular opinion turned against them, they should have accepted the popular verdict." The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The French Prime Minister Raymond Poincaré has said that France will not consent to a moratorium on German reparations unless the country's mines and national forests are transferred to the Allies as security.
Every morning, every evening, ain't we got fun? Not much money, oh, but money.
Not much money? Actually, the problem is we've got lots of money, but it isn't worth anything, and that ain't no fun. The Deutschmark is crashing to new lows again, falling to 8,000 marks against the pound, or 2,000 marks for every American dollar. Italian customs officials prohibited the American freighter, the SS Philadelphia, from leaving the Bay of Naples because of non-payment for repairs. The ship needs far more extensive repairs now. Sick of their confinement, the crew of the freighter has mutinied and ransacked and burned the ship. The SS Philadelphia is said to be a total loss. In Russia, Vladimir Abrikosov, a man who converted from Russian Orthodoxy to Catholicism and was then ordained as a Roman Catholic priest, has been seeking to convert other Russians. That is considered counter-revolutionary by the Bolsheviks, so he has been arrested and sentenced to death. Lieutenant Colonel Gerald Summers was the man who carried out the daring action by the King's African Rifles against the dervishes in Somaliland in 1913. He was severely wounded thrice in that battle, but the dervishes fared far worse. Their entire force was destroyed, and their leader, the so-called Mad Mullah Muhammad Abdullah Hassan, fled to die an ignominious death in exile. The Colonial Office has now appointed Colonel Summers to be governor of British Somaliland in succession to Sir Geoffrey Archer.
I've got the blues, I've got the blues, I've got the alcoholic blues. No more beer, my heart to cheer. Goodbye, whiskey, you used to make me pretty. So long, highball, so long, Jim. Oh, tell me when you're coming back again. Blue, I've got the blue. Since they amputated my blue. Lordy, lordy, war is, well, you know, so I don't have to tell. Oh, I've got the alcoholic blue, some blue.
In the United States, more reasons to have the alcoholic blues. Agents from the Bureau of Prohibition have begun a crackdown on hip flasks, those small metal containers used by persons partial to a tipple when out and about. Since the US government prohibited the sale of alcohol in bars and restaurants, there has been a huge increase in sales of hip flasks. Now federal agents are giving notice to resort and restaurant operators in New York that they will be held liable for failure to prevent patrons from bringing into their establishments hip flasks containing liquid refreshment. President Harding has addressed Congress on the mounting industrial crisis caused by the railway and coal strikes. He is urging the implementation of his recommendations, which include the creation of an independent federal commission to investigate conditions in the coal industry, as well as a national coal agency that would outlaw profiteering. The Senate, by a vote of 2-1, has passed the Fordney-McCumber tariff bill, named for two senators, and raising American tariffs on many imported goods in order to protect farms and factories across the United States. Farm income is said to have fallen by almost half in the last 3 years. Democrats are not happy about the tariffs, nor is Henry Ford, and the continental governments are said to be considering how to respond.
I think that I shall never see. Hungry mouth is prayer upon the earth is flowing through. Oh, freedom flows as God ordained and lifts every
The trees are ablaze in northeastern Minnesota. Forest fires have ravaged the state, leaving 6 people dead and hundreds homeless. The Ku Klux Klan is diversifying. In Mer Rouge, Louisiana, they have kidnapped 5 men and made off with them. No, not Negroes. These are white men who made the mistake of being vocal public opponents of the Klan. The governor of Louisiana is considering asking for the assistance of the federal authorities. The federal government, on the other hand, seems more concerned about communists than Klansmen. In the small town of Bridgman, Michigan, the nascent Communist Party of America was holding a planning meeting. The Communist Party is formed of men who have broken with the more popular Workers' Party of America because of the latter's policy of electoral participation, as opposed to the violent overthrow of the existing regime favored by the communists. Only 17 men were present at the meeting, others having somehow been tipped off about the upcoming raid and fled. However, they were captured later in the day, including the U.S. Communist Party leader William Z. Foster.
Where did Robinson Crusoe go?
with Friday on Saturday night. Every Saturday night, they would start in the road, and on Sunday morning, they come staggering home. They went hunting for rabbits when the weather grew colder, but Crusoe came home with a hair on his shoulder. Now where did Robinson Crusoe go with Friday on Saturday night?
Where did Robinson Crusoe go with Friday on Saturday night? That's not a question Judge Henry E. Cooper has ever had to worry about, because for decades he's had Palmyra Atoll all to himself. That's a 5-square-mile island in the North Pacific, nominally within the jurisdiction of the United States, but owned almost entirely by Judge Cooper, former Attorney General of Hawaii and the man who organized the end of the Kingdom of Hawaii and removed Queen Liliuokalani from her throne. Judge Cooper has now sold his Palmyra Island to Les Fuller Leo and his wife Ellen for $15,000. A new picture company, the CBC Film Sales Corporation, has released its first feature-length motion picture, More to be Pitied than Scorned, starring Alice Lake and Rosemary Thebe. CBC stands for Harry Cohn, Joe Brandt and Jack Cohn, and given the success of this first feature, we are likely to be seeing much more from the trio.
Love her by radio, you will find it radio.
You can now love her by radio north of Boston. The very first radio station in northern New England is on the air. WKAV broadcasts from Laconia, in between two of New Hampshire's most beautiful lakes, Winnipesaukee and Winnisquam.
Where we stop to rest our tired caravan. Hindustan, where the painted peacock proudly stretched his band.
Hindu can stand, but it's what he does when he's lying down that counts. Jiddu Krishnamurti, head of the Order of the Star of the East, arrived in California earlier this year in hopes that the climate would prove beneficial to his tubercular secretary. In recent days, he claims to have undergone an intense life-changing experience in which he began rambling and then fell unconscious or semi-comatose. He now says that while in that state, he underwent a process of mystical union that he now wishes to communicate to the world. In sports news, well, is it really sports? It's women's sports. So all the rage these days that the first women's World Games are now underway in Paris, thanks to the efforts of Alice Milia in response to the International Olympic Committee's refusal to include women's events in the upcoming 1924 Olympics. The Women's World Games has 11 track and field events featuring 77 ladies from 5 nations: France, Great Britain, the United States, Switzerland, and Czechoslovakia.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air.
Getting a sailplane up in the air is the easy part. Getting it to wait up there is trickier. A sailplane is a motorless airplane that glides through the air as a sailship does far below, but it's trickier to do it in the sky. Yet the records have been tumbling in the air above Germany. First, Arthur Mertens kept his plane aloft for more than an hour, a new world record. But it was broken the following day when Frederik Hansen managed to stay up for more than 2 hours over the Wasserkuppe in a Hanover H1 Vampire. And now, just a couple of days later, Herr Hansen has managed managed to beat his own record and keep his vampire in the air at an altitude of 1,000 feet for over 3 hours. Also, for the first time, a sailplane took to the skies with a passenger, the famous German airplane manufacturer Herr Fokker, who has announced a prize of 250,000 marks for the best motorless flight at the next air show. The sailplane has a better chance of staying up than the Deutschmark does. Do you remember the American Association of Baseball Clubs? For a while, it was a serious rival to the National League, but it closed its doors at the end of the 1891 season. 31 years to the day after his resignation, its last president, Lewis Kramer, is dead at 74. The famous Song of the Mountain by Felipe Pedrell, the Spanish guitarist and composer from Catalonia. He withdrew from public life following the death of his daughter in 1913, but Señor Pedrell's music remains very popular in Spain and beyond. He is dead at 81. In little over a decade, the famous Imperial Memorial to Queen Victoria outside Buckingham Palace has become one of the most famous sites in the British Empire. Upon its unveiling in May 1911, King George V is said to have been so moved by its extraordinary quality that he called for a sword and knighted its designer on the spot. Sir Thomas Brock also completed the statue of the Prince Consort at the Albert Memorial and sculpted the statue of Daniel O'Connell in Dublin, as well as the effigies of Queen Victoria in her long widowhood used on coinage throughout the empire. Sir Thomas is dead at 75. The Reverend Dr. Richard Henry Boyd was born a slave on a Mississippi plantation, sold to another plantation owner at the age of 16, and did not learn the alphabet until he was in his early 20s. Yet he went on to found the National Baptist Publishing Board, which quickly became the largest Negro publishing house in America. Following his long-standing conviction that Southern Baptist materials did not serve the interests of black members, just 7 years ago, he established the breakaway National Baptist Convention, mocked by the Baptists he left as the Boyd Baptist Convention. The Reverend Boyd is dead at 79.
Evening, lady of the evening, I can hear you calling me, calling while the shades are falling. Falling over land and sea.
There was no lady of the evening like this one. We are all familiar with the prima donna figure in minstrel shows, but did you know that this beloved stock character was introduced by a man called Francis Leon? He was 14 when he entered the minstrel world, but he had been trained as a boy soprano and so created the character of a mulatto coquette who likes to sing opera. He had over 300 dresses, he never called them costumes, and the character was reduplicated by lessers across the country to the point that she became known as the Leon. In return, Francis Leon began referring to himself as the only Leon. In a sense, it was an obvious development, for if a white man can make himself into a black man, why should a white man not be a black woman? It made Francis Leon the highest paid performer in minstrelsy. He is dead at 77.
Evening, lady of the evening, I hear you
According to her neighbours, Dolly Oesterreich is more of a lady of the daytime, if you know what we mean. Fred Oesterreich was a German immigrant to America who frequently hired fellow German immigrants to work in his textile mills. Among them was Walburga Kurschel, whom he hired at the age of 12. When she turned 17, they married, and Walburga became known as Dolly Oesterreich, known to the society columns as the Queen of Los Angeles. Unfortunately, she had considerable appetites and is said by neighbors to have taken many lovers, taking advantage of Mr. Oesterreich's long days at his mill. Now, Fred Oesterreich has been found dead of 3 gunshot wounds, with money missing, and Dolly discovered locked in the closet. Police are rumored to regard it as a staged break-in rather than the real thing, and would quite like to charge the not-so-grieving widow, but they cannot explain how Dolly Oesterreich locked herself in that closet. Fred Oesterreich, who lived the immigrant dream, was 44.
But I gave you up just before you threw me down.
You're smiling now, but someday you'll wear a frown.
Don't try to deny that you pulled me from the start.
Well, I must admit, though it hurts a bit, I meant to break your heart.
I gave you up just before you threw me down, but in this case, he gave her up and then threw himself down. William Wilson Talcott was a quarterback and linebacker with the Michigan Wolverines. He then became a successful publisher, business manager for the Chicago Tribune in Paris, and an ice cream manufacturer who promoted his product for its health benefits to those living in northern climes. Quote, harden yourself to endure cold, eat plenty of ice cream. Earlier this month, Mr. Talcott filed a criminal complaint against Albert J. Moore, leader of the House of Happiness, a quote, love cult operating out of a so-called temple in Chicago. Mrs. Talcott is said to have fallen in love with Mr. Moore and given him $7,000. William Talcott won his case, but his efforts to have his wife committed and kept away from the love cult leader failed. On the day Mrs. Talcott was found sane and released from her mental institution, the former star quarterback took a ticket on the excursion steamer The Favorite, climbed to the upper deck, and was seen to jump. No body has been recovered. The police arrived at the Talcott home just as his wife returned from the insane asylum, but seemingly unmoved, she declined to identify the straw hat found floating on the lake as his. William Wilson Talcott, football player, publisher, ice cream maker, is presumed dead at 43. And that's the way of the world, August 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media, all rights reserved.